Welcome to Knowing God in the Word, brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry, publishers of Seed and Bread. I'm your host, Bob Juneau, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. This radio program is for the purpose of helping listeners fulfill the greatest need we have as believers, to know God. Please visit our website at knowinggodintheword.org for a study guide outline of today's lesson as Nathan will continue his teaching series on the book of John in chapter 10 with The Sheep and the Fold. And now, Bible teacher Nathan Johnson.
Thanks, Bob. We have been considering the sheep and the shepherd from John chapter 10. And we have seen that the Lord is the shepherd. And Israel are the sheep. We saw that in Ezekiel 34. Now, we today can learn of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ from this beautiful illustration and realize that he loves us the same way. Yet we are not Israelites. We are not the sheep. And we should not try to steal this illustration for ourselves when it is not talking about us. Now, that doesn't mean the Lord doesn't love us, but we just aren't the sheep. The last time we had read verses 1 and 2, and we're on verse 3. Verse 1 said, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Then verse 3, "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out." So he says the doorkeeper opens to him, and of course he does, because he's the shepherd. Now the sheep hear his voice. And to hear means to listen and to respond. They come when they hear him calling. And he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They would recognize their own shepherd's voice, and the fact is the sheep would become attached to their own shepherd. And when they would hear his voice, they would follow him. In fact, you could put the sheep from several different shepherds in the same sheepfold. And you wouldn't have to worry about separating them because all you'd have to do is have the shepherd come and call his sheep, and the sheep that responded were his. And the sheep that weren't his, they wouldn't come when he called. Yes, his sheep knew his own voice. Now we saw that back in John chapter 1 and verse 43, where the Lord Jesus, when he wanted to call Philip to be his disciple, all he had to do was find him and say to him, "Follow me." And Philip followed him. See, Philip was his sheep, and he knew his voice. And all the Lord had to do was call him, and Philip would follow. So the question is, do we know his voice? Do we know when he calls? How do we know him? How do we know his voice? Well, the only way to know is getting to know him through the Scriptures, through the Word. And that's what this radio program is all about. Verse 4, "And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. He leads from the front, not the rear. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." And of course, he leads them to good places. He leads them to good pasture. Verse 5, "Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." So sheep are skittish creatures, and they don't like new things. So some newcomer comes along and says, "Hey, I'm the new shepherd. Follow me instead." Well, no, they won't do it. They'll flee. They'll flee. And may we know our shepherd's voice like that, so that if anyone else comes along and pretends to be the shepherd, we would know it's not him. We would flee. And again, the way to know his voice is through his word. Verse 6, "Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them." Now here it says that Jesus used an illustration. And that's not the word for a parable. Some people seem to get the idea that there are only two literary forms, and that is literal speech and parable, and they think everything in the Bible has to be one or the other. But no, that's not true. There are other literary forms besides literal and parable. And what the Lord says here in Greek is wayside saying. Jesus used this wayside saying. Now, what's a wayside saying? Well, that would be a saying that if you're walking down the road and you're just meeting common people along the road, these would be things that you could talk to any common ignorant person about, and that person would know. He wouldn't be puzzled. He'd know what you're talking about. And the fact was that Israel was a nation of shepherds, and much of their wealth was tied up in sheep. So just your common, everyday, ignorant person along the road would know about sheep. So Jesus used this wayside saying, and anybody would know what he was talking about when he was talking about sheep. But the fact was that the wayside saying had more meaning than just about sheep, didn't it? It had a deeper meaning behind it. And that's what they didn't understand. They might hear him and say, ah, yes, I know about sheep, I know about shepherds, that's true. And they thought they understood it. But they totally missed the real truth behind it. So they understood the figure, but they didn't understand what the figure was illustrating. They didn't understand the deeper truth. Verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Notice this here. He says, I am the door of the sheep. Whereas back in verse 2, he was the shepherd who enters by the door. Now you might say, that's kind of confusing, isn't it? But remember, this is all an illustration. And illustrations can be this way. You're illustrating a truth. The illustration isn't the truth. And so you can alter your illustration midway through to bring forth other truths. And that's what the Lord does here. Now these sheepfolds, as we talked about last time, were pens that they would just build out of rocks when they're out in the fields. It wouldn't be their permanent pen they'd have back home. But they build these folds out in the fields, and they would build them without doors. And when the sheep were in the fold, the shepherd himself would lie down in the doorway of the fold, and that way no thief and no wild animal could get into the fold without going through the shepherd first. So he literally became the door himself. And the Lord says, I am the door of the sheep. Nobody's going to get to the sheep to hurt them except they come through me. Verse 8. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. So he talks about thieves and robbers, and these would be those who came to lure the sheep away from their God. Now this isn't talking about those whom God actually sent, like Moses and the prophets. But then Moses and the prophets, they never claimed to be the shepherd, just to be his servant speaking for him. But there were those who came before the Lord Jesus Christ claiming to be the shepherd, claiming to be the Messiah. But they never were. They're always just thieves and robbers. But he says the sheep did not hear them. They didn't listen to the thieves and robbers. They knew better than that. Verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. Now the shepherd, when he would be calling the sheep into the fold, he would stand in the doorway and part his legs, and the sheep would pass through his legs to get into the fold. And as they were passing through, he could squeeze his knees together around the sheep and hold the sheep there, and he would examine them, see if they had any cuts or scrapes. And he'd have his little bottle of ointment that he would pour over any cuts that he found. And that way he would inspect his sheep and take care of them. So they were coming in and out through him, and he says, if anyone enters by him, he would be saved. He would be delivered, and then he would go in and out and find pasture. And going in and out, that's talking about the normal practice of life. Because, of course, that would be the normal practice of life for the sheep, is going in and out to find pasture. So they go in and out and find pasture. But verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Now the thief, when he comes, he doesn't come to do any good for the sheep. He just wants to steal the sheep. Maybe he just wants to slaughter them for their meat, or to kill them for their pelt and for their wool. He destroys. He doesn't come for the sheep's good. But the Lord says, I am the shepherd who comes for their good. I come that they might have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. So not just life in this world, but a more abundant life. And the Lord does certainly make our lives more abundant even now, knowing that we have a God and that he loves us and has forgiven our sins and so forth. That makes our life better now. But the fact is, I think ultimately the more abundant life he's talking about is that aeonian life that is to come, that bigger life, that fuller life, that life that flows with every good thing from the hand of God that would make life forever worth living. That's what he came, he says, to give to the sheep. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So the Lord Jesus Christ says that I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd, remember, he was the one promised in the Old Testament, as we saw in Ezekiel 34 and elsewhere. Now in the Old Testament, remember, Yahweh, Jehovah, he was the shepherd. Now in the New Testament, Christ says, I am the good shepherd. Now if Jehovah is the good shepherd, and Christ is the good shepherd, who is Christ? Well, that just shows that Christ must be Jehovah. And I believe that's true. Christ is Jehovah. The old Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Lord Jesus Christ of the New. Now, he says that he gives his life for the sheep, but literally in Greek, that's soul. So he gives his soul for the sheep. Now, that certainly proves his real care for the sheep, that he would give up his life for them. Now, remember, I've said that the sheep are Israel, and I believe that. And I believe, in one sense, that Christ died for Israel, for his people. Now, that might tend to make us jealous. Wait, he didn't die for me? But no, there's no reason for us to be jealous of them. Because from another standpoint, he died for all. Not just for Israel, but all who are saved through his death. So he died for us too, and there's no reason for us to be jealous of Israel the sheep. Now, to lay down your soul. Now, the shepherd really did that. See, the soul, when it's used in the Bible, and particularly when it's in contrast with the spirit, the soul speaks of the emotions. The soul speaks of the desires. And therefore, it can be used kind of figuratively for the things that fulfill your emotions and desires, your comforts, your comfortable life, the things that satisfy you and make you happy. Those are things that satisfy your soul, that satisfy your desires. But when you're out in the hills, in the wilderness, taking care of a bunch of sheep, you're laying down your souls, your comfortable life, to kind of rough it out with the sheep. That's what a shepherd does. But he also risks his life altogether for the sheep. Remember David, he was a good shepherd, and he talked about fighting a lion and fighting a bear for the sheep. Now the Lord gave him victory, but he might not have. He might have died fighting that lion and that bear. And he was willing to risk his life for the sheep. And that's what a good shepherd does. And the Lord, he actually did give his life for his sheep. Verse 12. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. So he says the hireling, one who's just hired to look after the sheep. He's paid money to do the job of looking after the sheep, but he doesn't own them. They're not his sheep, and he's not their shepherd. He's not their owner. Well, he doesn't care about the sheep. Wolf comes along and threatens the sheep, and the hireling's the first one to run away. He's running in front of the sheep. He's saying, get out of my way so I can get away from the wolf, and he can get you if he wants. But the wolf grabs a sheep, and the hireling doesn't protect him, and he scatters the other sheep, and the hireling just lets them go. Now, why does the hireling do that? Verse 13, the hireling flees because he is a hireling. He does not care about the sheep. And that's always true of hirelings, that they don't care like those to whom the sheep actually belong. And I think we can see a similar illustration in our day in things like daycares. You know, daycares, I notice they like to name their daycare centers after things like, well, care. They often put caring in the name of their daycare centers. And they show hearts and flowers and people taking care of smiling children and act like they're caring toward children. Well, I'm sure there are very caring people who work at daycares. But the fact is that they're hirelings. They're just hired to take care of the children. And they can't care as much as the person who says, that's my child. That's my child. No, the daycare worker, that's just a hireling. He can't care like the one who actually says, that's my child. The hireling never cares as much as the one who says, that's mine. Verse 14. He says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. Well, he said that before, didn't he? But he's repeating it, I think, for solemn emphasis. And I pray that we too know the Lord Jesus Christ. And even more importantly, I pray that he knows us. And he does if we believe. Verse 15, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now I pray that we all know God. And that's the point of this radio show, knowing God in the Word, is that I want to help you know God through the Scriptures, through the Bible, the Word he's given us. And I pray that God knows us. And God certainly does know us if we've entered into relationship with him by being believers, by believing in his Son, Jesus Christ. But at the same time, can any of us say, I know God like God knows me? Well, of course not. God is infinite. God is all-knowing. And he knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And how well do we know God? Well, God is infinite. God, in many ways, is beyond us. We don't know God nearly as well as God knows us. So none of us can say, I know God just like God knows me. No. No, we can't say we know him as well as he knows us, but Christ said that. Christ said, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. So he is equal in knowing God and God knowing him. They're equal. Now, who can say, I'm equal, I know God as well as God knows me, except for God? Well, no one. So this just shows us once again that Jesus Christ must be God, because only God could know God as well as God knows him. And he repeats then, I lay down my life, my soul, for the sheep. Verse 16, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Now here I have to differ once again with the interpretation that many people give to this passage. And that is when he starts talking about other sheep which are not of this fold, they say, aha, that's the Gentiles. The Gentiles are other sheep who are not of Israel's fold. That's us. But he knew about us and that he was going to gather us in, make us all one flock with Israel. Well, is that really what Jesus was saying? Did he really look at Gentiles as just other sheep who are not of the same fold as Israel? Well, that doesn't seem to be the case from other passages. For example, Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21, where it says, then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan, of course that would be a Gentile woman, came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And many Jews came to him to have demons cast out, and he always did it. But this Gentile woman comes, and he won't even answer her. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He says, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, those are the ones I came for, not Gentiles. Well, what are Gentiles if they're not lost sheep? Verse 25, then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. So he calls this Gentile woman a little dog. Now there's a difference between a dog and a sheep. You don't put dogs in flocks. You don't shear dogs to get dog wool. You don't put dogs out to pasture. No, dogs are different than sheep. And Gentiles are dogs, not sheep. So the other sheep he's talking about, they can't be Gentiles. Gentiles, the Lord says, are dogs. No, the scattered sheep are the Israelites who are scattered throughout the world. Ezekiel 34 talked about that. Now, the other wrong thing people want to interpret here is they start talking about a greater sheepfold. They say Israel was the lesser sheepfold, and the Gentiles were out in the greater sheepfold. Well, that's not the case. This verse says nothing about a greater sheepfold. It just talks about this fold and the sheep who are not in that fold. Now, if you were there at that time and you were in the land of Israel, you would find that you were in a place where people generally acknowledge the true God and they generally follow biblical morality. But if you left the land of Israel on that day, you would find it to be very different. You would go to places and you would find they would have an idol on every corner. You would find that people were very immoral and very violent. And you would say, wow, I'm not in the fold anymore. I've left the fold. I'm not in the fold anymore. The fold was Israel. And those who weren't in the fold, they were out in the open air. They weren't in a greater sheepfold. Now the sheep were not in the fold. He says, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And they did when he sent his apostles to them in the book of Acts. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Well, that hasn't happened yet. But that will happen in the future when he gathers Israel out of all the countries they've been scattered to and brings them back to their land in the kingdom of God. Verse 17, therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. Now by this he doesn't mean this is the only reason my Father loves me. But this is like if a loving husband says to his wife, she does something really endearing. He says, oh, I love you for that. That's why I love you. Now, does he mean that endearing thing she did is the only reason he loves her? And if she hadn't done that, he wouldn't have loved her at all? Well, no, of course not. That's not what he means. He means, it's because of things like that that I love you. He means, I love you because you're that way. He doesn't mean, the only reason I love you is because you did that one thing. And that's what the Lord means here. He means, my Father loves me because I'm this way. Because I lay down my life that I may take it again. Verse 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Now this verse is interesting because it tells us that he laid down his life. No one took it from him. And there are those who go around calling the Jews Christ killers. And often that's especially those from the Roman Church. They call the Jews Christ killers. Well, I always think that's kind of ironic considering that it was the Roman soldiers who put Christ on the cross. So maybe if those in the Roman Church want to talk about Christ killers, maybe they should look in the mirror. But no, the fact is that there is no such thing as a Christ killer because no one took his life. He laid it down of himself. Now he has authority to lay it down and he has authority to take it again. Now I suppose all of us could take our own lives if we wanted to. But how many of us could say, well, after I'm dead, I could decide to come alive again and do it? Well, no, none of us could do that. But the Lord, he had power to lay it down, and he had power to take it up again after he laid it down. Because he says, this command I have received from my Father. Verse 19, therefore there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. And remember, he was saying these things to the Jews, those who had rejected him after his healing of the blind man on the Sabbath day. Now they were divided over the healing of the blind man, and now they're divided again over these sayings. Verse 20, and many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Why would you listen to a demon-possessed crazy person? Verse 21, others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Now they were a little more sensible. They said, first of all, demons don't talk like this. Demons seem to be kind of Satan's grunt soldiers, and they're not the smartest servants he has. And they certainly don't talk like this. Nor can demons open the eyes of a blind person. Now it takes the power of God to do that, particularly one who was born blind. So they thought better. The fact is, what do we think about the Lord? Do we hear and believe, or do we reject? Remember, that's the purpose of the Gospel of John, is to convince us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Lord had a close relationship with his sheep. And we need that same kind of close relationship with God ourselves. He had a fold to protect them, the land of Israel. But our fold is just simply our faith in Jesus Christ. So do we believe in him? Are we in the fold of faith? Are we in Christ? I pray that we are.
The relationship that Israel had with the Father as the sheep of the fold is a beautiful picture of the same kind of relationship we can have with the Father. Just like the nation of Israel being safe in the fold as God's sheep, we too are safe in our relationship with God through our faith, our trusting in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Thank you, Nathan, for your lesson on the book of John. On our next program, Nathan will continue his series in the book of John with One with the Father. Thank you for joining us today. We trust that you have been edified and encouraged by this program. For more information on the program, to hear past programs, and for other downloadable material that Nathan has produced, please visit our website at knowinggodintheword.org. We also offer a weekly email newsletter in which Nathan does the same thing he does on this radio program, going verse by verse through the Bible and then discussing what it means. Email Nathan at nathan@knowinggodintheword.org and ask to be placed on his mailing list. For more Bible study literature by Nathan and other Bible teachers, including Seed and Bread Bible studies, please visit the Word of Truth Ministry at seedandbread.org or write to the Word of Truth Ministry, P.O. Box 1609, Canyon Country, California, 91386. Although your donations are always appreciated, you will not be solicited for funds in any way when you write, so feel free to contact us. I'm your host, Bob Juneau, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. So long for now. We look forward to you joining us next week on Knowing God in the Word.